Hi, my name is Molly Elizabeth. I believe in the power of imagination, that creativity can lift us out of the darkest places, and that we all are resilient as fuck. I'm here to let you know that you're darling and loved, and that coming home to yourself is the most revolutionary thing that you could ever do. This is the Darling Revolution Podcast. Hello, darlings. Welcome to this week's episode of The Darling Revolution. I'm your host, Molly. And this week we are going to talk about anxiety. Because that is what is very top of mind for me. In fact, I've made this commitment to record podcast episodes weekly and solo sessions that are focused on things that are top of mind for me. And as I was thinking about this podcast, the anxiety was coming up because anxiety is just something that I live with, and anxiety with a capital A, like diagnosed high functioning anxiety, which I'll explain to you in a moment. But, and the reason that I want to talk to you about it today is because it's just something that I deal with on a day-to-day basis as a person, as an artist, as a podcast host, as all the things, and it's something that I have had to develop skills and coping mechanisms to deal with. Otherwise, it would become, as it has in past times in my life, difficult to do anything or to function. So let's dive in, shall we? According to Talkspace on the internet, high-functioning anxiety means that it generally refers to someone who functions well enough to fulfill the obligations required by career and relationships to keep moving forward in their lives. As an example, those with high-functioning anxiety likely won't experience inpatient hospitalization, but may seek out ongoing outpatient therapy to learn skills to best help them manage their symptoms. And this pretty well demonstrates my experience. I have been in therapy for, gosh, almost 10 years now, which is great, with a couple of, like, bumps and breaks along the way, but now I'm in therapy every week, and it's wonderful. Everyone should have therapy. Everyone. Even if you don't have the lovely high-functioning anxiety like I do. But essentially, it's been interesting for me to figure out myself and my relationship with my anxiety. I not only have high-functioning anxiety, but I also have this delightful little cocktail of anxiety, generalized depression, mood disorder, and also some nice OCD, and recently some PTSD stuff coming up too. So it's been interesting to figure those things out and, you know, find out who I am over and over again in the midst of all of those mental health challenges that honestly at some points in my life and sometimes can be completely arresting and seem to stop all forward progress. So it can be like really difficult. But also is something that I just see as being part of me. It's like part of my brain chemistry. It's something that I've gotten pretty used to at this point. And the cool thing about therapy and, you know, the things that we've learned thus far in science about anxiety is that there are ways to cope with it. And if you can't tell, I'm like listening to myself talk while I'm talking, and I can tell that the anxiety is just like out. So it's kind of like I'm having an interview with my anxiety today. So welcome, anxiety. Thank you. It's great to be here. And we're just gonna keep going. But yeah, so my anxiety has popped up in a lot of different ways. I used to think that I was generally just like a very worried person. I don't know. And I don't know if anyone has experienced this, if you have anxiety, but until I knew what it was and could name it, it was kind of this nebulous thing where if I were to go out and do something new or try something or you know, get ready to say hi to someone, even if I know them, like any little thing, I would get really anxious and worried and nervous. And I remember being a little kid and just biting my nails like almost clean off. Like I was always chewing on my fingers. I still do that. It's still a habit that I'm trying to break, you know, to with nail polish and things. But it's hard. I'm usually very much on edge, especially if I'm not taking the time to take care of my mental health in the same way as the rest of my health, my physical health, my emotional health, all those things. They are all connected. So my anxiety presents itself as this feeling almost constantly of almost like a giant boa constrictor wrapped around my entire body. And it feels constricting. Like it feels like I can't breathe and I freeze up and I feel it happening, right? And the difference for me between before it was like diagnosed to now is that now I'm becoming more and more embodied and more aware of those physical reactions and able to, for the most part, not always, but able to pull up my handy dandy list in my brain of coping mechanisms and strategies and ways to get through it. And basically the thing that comes up with my anxiety the most is this, like, this idea of, you know, imposter syndrome, or that I'm somehow might not be safe, or that I will try something or do something like record a podcast and that maybe it will be met with silence, that no one will like me, and that I'll be alone. Sounds dramatic, but that is what, you know, the narrative of my anxiety, my imposter syndrome, all those things play in my head. And also, I should be a little more specific. Like, imposter syndrome is not the same as diagnosed high-functioning anxiety. It just has a tendency to mix together with that brain chemical of anxiety and create these like narratives of imposter syndrome and create these narratives of like fear, if that makes sense. So that kind of a thing comes up for me constantly, and it's a lot of work and a lot of emotional labor for me to ground myself. And so usually what I do as a coping mechanism are a lot of things that I did naturally and were naturally drawn to, only now I understand more of why I was drawn to them, because they were coping mechanisms for my anxiety. And one of those things is painting. So when I paint, it's essentially a way to ground myself in my body. You know, I'm focused on the movement of the brush dancing across the canvas and its connection to my arm and its connection to the rest of me. Usually I have music playing and I'm in flow, right? I'm in that grounded flow state. I'm in my body. I'm paying attention to that. And I never get anxious once I'm painting. I will have anxiety pop up before I start painting. And the fear of the blank canvas used to be completely arresting to me. And another coping mechanism that I started using for that was just like closing my eyes and making marks on the canvas, or writing a letter to myself or my inner critic, who I have lovingly named Harold. And there are so many canvases, you guys, that are out in the world or even still waiting to find homes in my studio, that the first layer beneath all the paint literally says, "Fuck you, Harold," because it's me speaking to that inner anxiety response, that imposter syndrome, and talking myself down, essentially. So any kind of like physical grounding action really helps me cope with my anxiety. So painting. Recently, I have started dancing again. That's really been helping. Movement gets me in my body and out of my head, because the thing with anxiety is that I feel it through my whole body, but it's really like has a tendency to trap me in my mind and keep me in that like freeze mode. So anything that I can do to breathe, feel my breath, start moving, start painting, anything that helps me ground when my heart feels like it's going to beat so hard and so fast that it's just gonna like carry me away somewhere. Because when my anxiety hits, especially if it turns into a panic attack, like if something triggers me, I can't do anything to stop it. I just have to remind myself that it's going to pass, that it's not going to last forever, even though I might feel like I'm going to die, that I'm not going to. So it's a constant kind of breathing and grounding and juggling act between the scary, sometimes very pointy voice of my anxiety, that constricting feeling, and knowing deeply that my anxiety doesn't own me, and finding ways to find my breath and breathe and move. And that's why I am able to do what I do and paint and do the things. But anxiety is just like a constant companion for me. Another thing that has been really, really, really helping me is therapy. So I go to therapy now once a week, and I'm so privileged and thankful that I have found a therapist that takes my insurance, and that I'm like able to afford it, and it has really, really been helping me, particularly because I have been learning to be more and more in my body. I think part of this experience of my life of having anxiety is that I learned early in my life that my body didn't feel very safe, because it was prone to like anxiety and panic attacks, and vice versa. Those two ideas like fed into each other and became kind of a continuous loop. And so in therapy lately, my therapist has been walking me through breathing and grounding and being in the feeling and allowing it to be in the container of my body, and making a container and a safe space for it to be and then for it to pass. So, because it's kind of like the idea of an infant or a small child. If you had like a baby that was screaming and crying and freaking out, you wouldn't just like put them down and leave them. You would hold them and create a safe container. Likewise, it's also not healthy to try and just like stop that child from being upset or like make them shut up. You know, you just hold them. And so coping with high functioning anxiety for me has been learning to hold myself and create that container, create that peacefulness and that expansive space internally to hold the feelings of anxiety and panic that just normally come up due to my own brain chemistry. So that's just like a little snippet of what living with anxiety is like for me. This episode feels a little choppy because it's, you know, me practicing talking about something that's still not very easy for me to talk about. Still makes me feel anxious to talk about my anxiety. High functioning anxiety, it's not as fun as you think. So I appreciate you being here and listening. And I would love to know if any of you out there also deal with anxiety or, you know, like mental health issues of any kind. This is meant to be a safe space to talk about those things, and those types of themes have come up a lot in previous episodes. If you go back and listen to previous episodes, not just with myself, but with interviews and other guests that we've had here in the past, mental health issues come up a lot, and I think it's important to talk about. So we are doing that, and we're talking about them. And I think that the more that we talk about things, the more that we're able to identify what's actually going on and work on healing. It's like Brené Brown talks about shame and how the less you talk about it, the more you have. And the thing that dismantles shame is shining a light on it and talking about it. And so, because I've had a lot of shame in the past about the fact that I have anxiety, I haven't talked about it a lot, and I am changing that because I think it's really important, and I think it's important for all of us to know that we're not so alone as we maybe think we are, especially in a moment of panic or, you know, triggers or whatever have you. You are so not alone. We are so not alone. There is always someone there who cares about you, and you are so loved, and doesn't matter your brain chemistry, doesn't matter your perspective or where you come from, you are not alone. And that's apparently essentially what I needed to get to today. I'm not alone, and neither are you. So thanks for being here and hanging out with me for a little bit. I look forward to our chat next week, and until then, rage on, darlings. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today. It means the world for each and every one of you to take time to listen to this podcast. I love each and every one of you. If you want to hang out with me on social media, you can find me on Instagram or Facebook under The Darling Revolution. Or you can get all the latest updates about what I'm up to, events, new offers, new artwork, new podcast episodes, all the things by signing up for my email list on my website at www.thedarlingrevolution.com. Again, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. I love you all. Till next time, rage on, darlings.